Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 7th. Joining us this morning is City of Eureka manager, Mr. Sparks. How are you doing, guy?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing just great.
Oh, boy. We got the budget season.
It comes around way too often.
Yes, it does. So let's see. Is there a monetary quote? Here we go. Boy, a Greek philosopher. A-E-S-C-H-Y-L-U-S. I'm not even going to venture a shot at this one. It's a profitable thing, if one is wise, to seem foolish.
I'll be thinking about that the rest of the day.
I may use that. Don't be the answer man, I think is what it boiled down to in petroleum era references. You know, the Shell answer man?
Yeah. Okay.
So, 'tis the season of budget.
Yes.
What are you seeing? What are you thinking?
Well, we are just in the process now of setting up our meetings with departments on their proposed budget. So today I've got Chief Mills and Police Department budget. Then next week, most all the rest of the departments. Finance is still putting together some final numbers. So I don't have an overview look yet as to, you know, how things are landing. But one of the things that has helped us the last 2 years, you know, we started a two-year budget process where we put a second-year estimate. And in addition, this last year, we created a five-year financial forecast. And I think for the most part, the forecast is going to be pretty good. The one exception to that, and I know you and I have talked about this in the 3 years I've been here, is pension rates and CalPERS. And we're not going to see this increase in this next fiscal year, but in the following fiscal year, CalPERS has adjusted their rate of return projection, which means, quite frankly, they're getting more realistic. But by being more realistic on not projecting as great a rate of return, that means increases the rates on the employers.
Taxpayers?
Which goes to the taxpayers.
Yeah.
So certainly starting the 2019-2020 budget, we'll have some increases as a result of that. We don't know yet exactly what that will be. But as we're taking into account, you know, increased minimum wage and then how that impacts even, you know, positions that are just above minimum wage and with some additional CalPERS costs in 2019-2020, those will be some of the things we'll start preparing for in this year.
Are there any jurisdictions, Greg, that have separate bills that go out to pay for increases in retirement plans? Or do we just hear there's less money for roads, as an example, because it's going over in this direction and the general community is basically unaware of what's going on?
Well, when you say a separate bill, I'm not sure.
A separate statement, a separate something so that people understand the roads aren't working because, or the sidewalks aren't being replaced because. And I guess you just got 3 minutes to think about it. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Before we were waylaid, we were talking a little bit about the concept of, and I said it's separate bills, and obviously that's not going to be possible because you get your tax. But for the community to understand that the less road that we're getting there, or the chunky roads that we're getting on H&I, on 14th. Boy, there was one that even made 14th look good.
Yeah, you can go on and on with that
okay.
list.
Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Less to that and more to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a frustration that's starting to boil up in the community. It's kind of like if you had to pay your taxes instead of having it automatically deducted, we'd have tax reform in about 3 pay cycles.
But the more immediate you make that to people, the more you
personal.
Yeah, more personal. And you know, the other problem with those kind of increases in pension costs, it also means that we haven't been able to keep wages though competitive with a lot of our competition. I mean, we continue to have a difficult time recruiting people into whether it's police officer positions, firefighter positions, professional positions, you know, the engineering, the planner type positions. You know, those are all difficult positions to fill with.
Is Eureka unique?
No, I don't necessarily think we're unique, but I think some of the rest of the state that saw their economy come up quicker than what ours did, that have a stronger, real estate base, that type property tax base, their wages have been much more.
And a viable economy, I would imagine.
And a more, more viable, more, our economy go back. Certainly from a budget standpoint, we're dependent upon sales tax. So, you know, our retail base, I mean, we have a good retail base for a community of 28,000 since we serve an area larger than that. But we also see when we had the recession, those revenues went down, you know, right away. People put off buying new cars and all those, that other type of discretionary spending. So when you have all your eggs in that, sales tax basket, we've shifted more to a, you know, tourism and service related economy, and who knows yet what the cannabis economy is going to be in Eureka, Humboldt County. I mean, that's still in some kind of developing stages. So
they will be charged sales tax, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's sales tax, but it's right now most of these business license applications are in the county. We've got 17 in the city. Still, the majority being held up in the Department of Justice background check process. So, even though
that's got to be an interesting dichotomy.
Well,
sending it to the DOJ to get clearance for something that the DOJ doesn't see as legal.
That the federal government still says is not legal. And I watching a news piece this morning, and certainly the Attorney General is asked the Department of Justice to kind of relook at how they're looking at these states
give us clarity.
Yeah, and right now there's a real lack of clarity, and so we haven't at this point gone to the City Council with any proposed regulations on adult use marijuana. Certainly the state regulations kick in January 1st, 2018, although with Prop 64, you could immediately start for adult use, personal use, have your limited indoor, personal grow.
So where, you said there's 17 that are in the pipeline, so to
yes,
speak?
Yes, yes.
Is there, with the zoning ordinances, I know some towns have got like bar districts, and if you're going to be serving alcohol, you have to be constrained within that physical area. Currently, does Eureka have something similar so that these things aren't going to be located, like, let's say, the back part of a convenience store, so that they're into the neighborhoods and they're all over the place? Are they going to be focused in one area? What's the city's overall philosophy with this?
I think the overall philosophy is there's such a difference in the types of cannabis businesses. So a transportation business.
Let's say just retail sales. I mean, you know, where the truckers are pulling from.
And we just have, one dispensary application that's in. So if it's currently we don't have any applications for volatile manufacturing. And we had quite a bit of discussion with council about that just the other night, if they wanted to eliminate volatile manufacturing. And
that's the lavender making stuff.
That's where, right, where you're using process. Whether it's a butane or some other type, a propane type process that has a volatility to it. And that is currently allowed. And part of the reason that was put into the ordinance back this past fall was somewhat the concept that if you had legal means of doing volatile extraction, that might decrease the black market hash lab in the apartment type operations.
Out of the bathtub into the back room. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But right now you don't have any retail application?
One dispensary. And so, that's
different than just the normal retail, right?
Well, that's really your retail outlet or the dispensaries.
That would be it. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, City Manager of Eureka. Talk Shop presented this morning by CDH Painting and by Redec. Greg, some of the different challenges before we get away from the budget entirely with the marijuana industry. Mm-hmm. You said that there is one license applicant that is out for retailing marijuana.
And medical. Yeah.
Medical or recreational. That just is. Well, you can tell after 5 minutes, I still haven't wrapped my head around it. I mean, it just is so stunning to me. Brookings, which, if you're unfamiliar with it, I know I use that as a reference fairly regularly, community of about 8,000 people, has got eight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a couple in the county immediately adjacent, so it'd be similar to Myrtletown having a couple of them, and Eureka equivalent would have 50. And you got one.
Yeah.
Are these guys asleep at the switch? Is the county so much easier to work with, to get a permit?
Well, but even the county ones aren't, I don't think, dispensary. They're more the, the cultivation permits and all that. But, I think what we're seeing, come in the transport business, in the testing R&D business, in the manufacturing non-volatile, which is, can be the
more the laboratory side of things.
Yeah, but it can be retail. Creating those products, whether it's, you say brownies, obviously it's much bigger than the brownie market. It's cannabis infused, throat lozenges and
everything.
And creams and salves and so on and so forth. So
now, do the salve guys, which my understanding is you don't need any THC in it, any of the hallucinogenic, under the same permit process as the edibles?
They are.
Where you would think their standard would be commercial kitchen.
Yeah, but they're still using a cannabis product, even though the low THC or non-THC or very low, whatever. They still have to go through that same type of process.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would have thought one would have been more akin to restaurant food preparation,
mm-hmm.
and the other would be, whatever the hand soap industry has to go through.
Yeah.
Nobody eats soap. you know, nobody's going to eat the salves. I mean, that's
right, right.
But there's no delineation there, because it's marijuana.
Yes, and okay. It falls into the track and trace program and all that.
So, what do you see coming to fruition with this over the next 7 or 8 months before January 1 kicks in?
Well, certainly one of the main things I'm looking at is still going to be, what's the federal government going to do? For an administration that certainly has talked about states ought to be able to make certain decisions, this is, you know, and so many states have made that decision now regarding through voter initiatives to approve either, you know, some type of medical cannabis or recreational cannabis. That seems like a genie that's going to be tough to put back in the bottle from the federal government standpoint.
Certainly having Congress and the U.S. Senate step up to the plate and make a decision. But, you know, they haven't figured out how to tax internet sales either. So,
yeah, they've been talking about that for how long now?
Yeah, you know, I think the strongest position in their automobile, so to speak, is reverse. And just back away from anything that reeks of any kind of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stay away from for as long as they can, which puts the regulators and those downstream states, counties, cities into a big question mark.
Yeah, I think it puts us in a very difficult question mark locally when the voters have approved Prop 64. State of California certainly will make plans to, you know, to go to legal battle against the federal government on an issue like this, as they certainly indicate an interest on other issues. So we just want to make sure from a city of Eureka standpoint that we aren't, you know, we understand, we want to know what the path forward is going to be. Do we just follow what's being done at the state, but at the same time, let's pay attention to what's going on federal-wise, because it is still illegal from the federal standpoint.
Well, the state still hasn't provided clarity, and it's been how long since 2015?
They provided a lot more
decades?
Clarity last year than what had been, in the 19 years previous.
Right.
And I saw just the other day, again, there's still some additional clarity coming out on medical cannabis. So they didn't totally get it perfected last year.
Or personal use and the grows and all that kind of good stuff. Is there, do you guys have a part of the, I guess it would be the general plan or the building code or whatever it might be, that addresses this, that's kind of roughed out at least, so when word comes down, you're not scrambling for 6 months trying to put everything together? It's just kind of ready, and it would be a much tighter timeline to get processed?
And I think this has been a difficult thing to kind of address from a general plan. So, I mean, you've got some things going on, some parallel tracks. We try to treat this as like a lot of other business. I mean, it has its own things that are separate and apart. But I think for the most part, within the general plan, as we look out 20 years with the general plan, that this is going to get resolved in the next, certainly within the year, to knowing what type of impact these kind of businesses will have and be able to, whether they'll be able to grow or not in our community.
KINS News and Information Times 842. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, with part of the budget also is where the monies are allocated. And you had mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit about the Visitors Center concept and what the future might look like for Eureka for folks traveling through.
Right.
A lot of us, when we say, what is Eureka going to look like when folks traveling through, we hope that the homeless and the bums and the druggies are off the street. That's our concern. But for
sure.
the tourist community, there are other aspects as well.
And that's certainly important from the tourism community as well. You know, city does a number of contracts for service. We have a contract with, you know, Eureka Humboldt Visitor Bureau. Occupancy tax goes to, you know, fund the whole marketing campaign for Eureka Humboldt County. One of the things the council did last year was we only approved a 1-year agreement with the Chamber of Commerce for visitor center services. And the visitor centers, for most people probably know, is located within the Chamber building, South Broadway. By the bowling alley. Pretty good location for people coming into Eureka from the south. It's pretty easy to pull in there. There's parking and they serve about 9,000 to 10,000 visitors a year who stop in to, basically find out where the redwoods are, where's a good place to eat, some things like that. So, and we fund that to the tune this year of $110,000. We've had a number of discussions with chamber representatives in about the last 2 years as to, is this the best model for capturing visitors and to get information in front of visitors? And certainly keep doing more with websites and other, electronic media. But there's also certainly a place for that personal touch and answering somebody's questions. So you try to take that into account. But what we just put out a request for proposals for visitor center services with the idea that we want to see what else is out there. We've had this long-term relationship with the Chamber for Visitor Center, but we think there's other organizations that may have an interest in running some type of visitor services. It may not be a model that looks like what we've been doing for the last 40 years. Maybe it's a model where, two of the larger lodging facilities go in together on a north end and south end and create some type of a visitor center.
But you're not looking at putting tax monies to support private businesses.
No, it's all about how you provide these types of visitor center type services. And one of the things we're maybe looking to do from the city standpoint is maybe better wayfinding signage could as an alternative proposal that our city staff will prepare. So I think there's a number of concepts out there. Eureka Lodging Alliance is certainly interested in this and how we can better meet visitors.
Well, go have some fun budget meetings.
I will.
I know you're looking forward to it.
I am.
See everybody on Monday.